Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Tuesday following Labor Day weekend on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. It is game week once again in the National Football League. We welcome in a new 2024 NFL season in game week number one. We are only 2 days away from the season debut in Kansas City, inside Arrowhead Stadium, at the home of the two-time reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, as KC gets ready to host Baltimore in a rematch of the AFC Championship game from a year ago. We will get you set with everything you need to know now entering game week and week number one. It is no longer the offseason. It is no longer preseason. Camp has come to a conclusion as well. It's game week in the National Football League, DRS.
It's fantastic. And also, like, you sort of turn the page, right? So yesterday I had a little bit of time. I said, you know what? Let me preview the week one games. Just go over a couple of rosters here. And also just getting back into the flow of, you know, going to be checking those practice reports on a day-to-day basis. It's that routine that you love to get into, which manages through your week. And then you look at, like, the college football season, the way it opens up, trying to cover 30.5-point spreads, 40-point spreads. And you look at the NFL, like, just on my odds board, Thursday night's football game, -3. Friday night's football game, -3. First game on Sunday on the odds board, -3. Second game on the odds board, Ben, -3. Like, these games are so razor thin that technically we don't really know what's going to take place, but just trying to analyze and see how these teams are going to come out right out of the gate. And it's not like, what's the highest line on the board? The 8.5 to 9.5 that you'll get from Cincinnati, New England. Outside of that, everybody feels like it's around 3 points. It's awesome to talk NFL football right out of the gate.
Yes, it certainly is. The final game of week number one is only a 3.5-point spread in favor of the 49ers on Monday Night Football as they host gangrene the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Total for that game, 43.5. And just a reminder, we brought you the breaking news just a few minutes ago, but here to start hour two in our NFL deep dive, Trent Williams and San Francisco finalizing a reworked contract extension or deal at the very least. We're not entirely sure the facts, figures, or numbers at this moment, but it is going to end the holdout for Trent Williams. He will report to practice, more than likely will be ready to go week number one, Monday night, to end out the weekend against the New York Jets.
That's big, big news. And by the way, I always like to see this too, because if you take a look at the numbers, was anybody after like, I'm not going to bet the 49ers at 3.5 because I'm not sure that Brandon Ayuk and or Trent Williams is going to show up. So I'm going to hold off. And then you bet into a 4 or 4.5 if it goes up higher. Like, understand, like, sometimes, yes, I always talk about get the crystal ball out, but you didn't need a crystal ball to understand that those two players would be playing for the 49ers over the past 2.5 to 3 weeks when it looked like Ayuk's trade options really weren't there and he wanted to be a 49er. And nobody thought, well, Trent Williams, he could hold out weeks five, week six. I know he's done that in the past with horrendous football teams like the Washington Commanders, but they're lined up for a Super Bowl. He's not 28 anymore. He's 36. He just wanted a little bit more money. They gave him a little bit more money and they're under center now. So I guess you could say, hey, you better grab that 3.5 because it's probably going to turn into 4 later in the week. We'll find out. But if anybody bet those scenarios, you're doing it backwards at this point here. Understand what you think is going to happen and make those bets based upon that.
Donnie, when the week one lines came out earlier this summer, it was a 5.5-point spread in favor of the Niners. There's been a lot of market movement on Gang Green and Aaron Rodgers, and an optimistic perspective since training camp got started. It will be the Jets, not the Bills, that enter 2024 as the favorites in the AFC East, for what that is worth. Now, here is the week one watch list and your schedule for the opening game week of the year in the NFL. Thursday night, the season debuts at Arrowhead. It's the Chiefs and the Ravens. Friday night, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, it's the Eagles and the Packers in what should be a great game. 13 games on Sunday. Welcome back, Scott Hansen and Red Zone. And then again, Monday night in Santa Clara, it's the 49ers and the Jets. Let's go to that Friday game in Brazil. Donnie Wrightside's Eagles playing host to the Green Bay Packers. Philly a 3-point favorite in this neutral site game internationally to start off a season. And 48.5 is the total. Donnie, from the number perspective, what do you think the odds are telling us about the season opening game in Sao Paulo?
They're telling us that this is an Eagles line now, because if you remember, Ben, this line coming out 1.5, 1 point across the board. Now we're looking at threes just about everywhere you can find, which includes the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll see what the betting public has by Friday night. But if I'm looking at it, there's a lot of unknowns with the Eagles, but a lot of good unknowns. It's not as if you're taking a look saying, whoa, wonder how that quarterback's going to do with that offense. A very good offensive line, a very good tight end, the best wide receiving core in the NFL, and Saquon Barkley that we haven't seen anything out of here in the preseason. As I say that, we haven't seen the offense in the preseason, which more people are saying, like, ooh, I don't know if that's a good thing, too. Wait till this team cooks against the Packers here on Friday night. Now, we'll see what happens. We understand it gets a little crazy on opening night, but I do believe the Eagles overall are the better football team. Let me ask you this, Ben, too. In Brazil, there is no X. So the reason I bring this up is usually the NFL loves to do promotion. That's why you go internationally. It'll be very interesting. Is it Facebook promotions? Is it call-ins now to radio stations? And also, so many people watch during the game and say, let me get those beat writers, which there are by the dozens, to say, okay, here's who's hurt, here's who's in the blue tent. That's no longer going to be the case at this point. The reason I bring this up is, the boys on Pro Football Today, we're going to be live, and we can use X here in the United States to keep you updated on everything you need to know. But it's interesting to see how this plays out, because I, like so many people, like, I usually watch the games at home by myself, but Twitter is open, which means I'm watching it with millions of people for real in-time reaction, and most of those reactions are, oh, no. Jalen Hurts, twisted ankle, he's in the blue tent, or he just left the field here, or concussion comes in. Those teams and those beat writers can no longer get that information out in real time. That's interesting for an NFL game now, Ben.
I did not even realize, Donnie, until you just said that the Brazilian courts yesterday upheld the ban on X in Brazil for a company that live streams on X. We still call it Twitter here stateside. Does that hurt our numbers for PFT? We shall see. I hope not, DRS. But when you look,
why would it hurt our numbers? No, we're in the United States. We can use that. The beat writers in Brazil can't tweet out. Why would it hurt us?
But I was just saying, what if there's optimism internationally for a football game and many Brazilian fans now welcoming football into their lives are looking for the best pro football content they can find? It limits our distribution.
Yeah. I think the fine, though, BSS, is like $9,000 a day. So can we absorb that as a company just to get the good people of Brazil to watch our show? Maybe that's something we can do. Maybe a GoFundMe account for the people out there that, you know, build it up. I like it. I like where you go.
Where's Marca? Marca, I think, I don't know. Anyway, so as we keep it going here,
Marca,
for this game, just want to That's good. Yes, just wanted to was, say, by the way, the Packers last year, great as an underdog and rallied late, of course, winning six of their final eight games to earn that playoff spot. Jordan Love was great in those final eight games of the year. And, of course, the upset on the road in the Star, that super wild card weekend. The Packers 8-4 ATS as a dog last year. Six of those eight covers, an outright win. The Packers covering by an average margin of nearly 7 points per game as an underdog. A couple of rematches to start week number one. The AFC Championship game rematch on Thursday night. Sunday night football, a rematch of the super wild card game and the Lions' first playoff win in 32 years as Detroit will welcome in Matthew Stafford and the Rams again. The Lions, a 3.5-point favorite. Total, 51.5.
I mean, the NFL not nail this. Thursday night football game, awesome. Friday night football game, Brazil, awesome. Sunday night football game, Matthew Stafford goes back to Detroit. Two teams you think are going to play into the playoff race here. And then the Monday night football game with the Jets and the San Francisco 49ers. And by the way, I love that there's a Friday night football game and probably will continue to be on opening weekend. You're supposed to have a bonanza, and we are getting that. And I'm so excited to watch it play out, B.D.L. Bless. Let's go.
Total for the Rams and the Lions, the highest of week number one. Plenty more football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Day by day has been the theme in Cincinnati. And it's not just coach speak saying, hey, we're hoping to improve every percent each and every day as we get ready for a season. It's been the status of Ja'Marr Chase, either showing up for practice or now in game week for the Bengals, showing up for Sunday's opener in Cincy against the New England Patriots. Ja'Marr Chase missing practice to start this week once again. Zach Taylor, who has been confident his star wide receiver is going to be there all offseason long, has said a couple of things only for Chase not to show up or show up late to make Zach Taylor look a little bit fraudulent, if you will. So Taylor now measuring his words. Quote, we'll just take it day by day. Donnie Wrightside has been your Cincinnati Bengals beat reporter all offseason long when it comes to wide receiver contracts. What say you?
You know what the best part about this is? Like, I actually feel bad for Zach Taylor. And the reason I say this, it can go for any coach out there. Like, your job is to coach the players that you have on the team. And imagine going to, like, general manager meetings or the owner and be like, hey, are we going to get my best player on the field so we can actually have a good season? Like, our expectations are high. We're expected maybe to win this division and make a deep playoff run, which includes maybe a Super Bowl. Boy, it would have been really nice if I had my superstar wide receiver in training camp, maybe the most important part of the season. But you can still rescue that and remedy by getting him in line. But also, it comes down to the point is, a lot of people like the pocket watch. And mainly times, Ben, we do this, what, in the NBA? Like, how did that guy make that much money? That's ridiculous. Let me tell you something right now. If Ja'Marr Chase today signed the richest wide receiver contract in the history of the NFL, would anybody bat an eye and say, I can't believe that happened. That's such a terrible move. He is a sensational wide receiver with a great quarterback that will do big things together as long as they're happy, healthy, and on the field together. And I can't understand what we're waiting on. Now, having said that too, Ben, I do think there's optimism, because if this was a case of these two sides aren't talking, Ben, Ja'Marr Chase wouldn't even be showing up to practice and putting on a good face. He would be out of there quickly and absolutely going nuts on Twitter, on X, and on Facebook, wherever, saying that he's getting done wrong and he just wants to be traded from the Bengals. So I do have optimism. But also, what actually gives me optimism? This is the worst run football team in the NFL from the players' perspective. Just go back to where they're grading out ownership groups and what they think of them. Bad food, don't serve food, don't care about our kids here, terrible practice facility, and a cheap owner. It's been widely known at this point. But there does come a point where you say, as a fan base, this shouldn't be happening in today's NFL, because it's not as if, like, oh, there's no precedent for this. When every single player gets paid but your top guy, because you're trying to pinch pennies and tell him to hold off, you can't do that. And I'm telling you now, if Ja'Marr Chase does get signed to a big contract, Ben, I'm back in on the Bengals. It's that simple. But if we're going to play this charade in this game where I told you we only negotiate in the offseason, when let the entire offseason go, and you can even lay it out from Mike Brown's perspective, Ben, and say, well, look, these top nine wide receivers didn't get paid this year, and you're not going to get paid either, okay, then maybe he has to sit it out. But whenever every single player is signed, sealed, and delivered with monster money, except your top guy. And oh, by the way, T. Higgins had to settle for the franchise tag. This organization has run so poorly, I can't take it anymore. And I'm here for the fans. Like, I want the Bengals to be good with no issue so I can bet Jamar Chase anytime touchdown market week number one. Get on, I mean, sign this guy. What are we waiting for?
It is a really interesting thing because in the National Football League, yes, there are small market clubs, but it's not the same distribution deals that you see in MLB. There is the league-wide billions and billions of dollars that are distributed. So there really shouldn't be that much of a precedent to be cheap, except if you are an ownership group that relies on your franchise for your wealth. Jamar Chase is deserving of, obviously, one of the biggest contracts in NFL history at the wide receiver spot. We have spoken at length about what those figures should look like, why the deal should have been done this offseason to average out over the final 2 years of his rookie contract. And that's the difference for Chase as compared to Brandon Ayuk or CeeDee Lamb or even Justin Jefferson, who got paid earlier in June. He is entering year four. Two more years left on his deal. J-Jet, Lamb, Ayuk were all entering the final year of their rookie contract. But you do want to pay him now because you do not want to have this plague your season and carry over into next offseason as well. Jamar Chase, the RS, does have season-long props out there, which I think would be an indication. The FanDuel Sportsbook, the odds makers, unless there is something unforeseen about to go down in the next 4 days, expect Chase to be there from the very start against New England. 94.5 receptions, 1250 and a hook in terms of his season-long receiving yards prop. Jamar Chase came into the league as the fifth overall pick out of LSU to reunite with Joe Burrow. His rookie season, 1,455 receiving yards, one offensive rookie of the year for Cincinnati, had 13 receiving touchdowns. He has had more than 1,000 yards in all three of his NFL seasons, has been a Pro Bowler in all three of the seasons in his NFL career, has been under that season-long prop each of the previous two, but only played 12 games in 2022, his second year in the league, 16 last year, but of course Joe Burrow, not his quarterback, distributing him the football for most of them.
Yeah, you know what? And it's funny, Ben, because you take a look at, he should be able to eclipse those. And I do believe he plays week number one. But how many times have we seen it before? Unless you're in practice on a day-to-day basis, it's not about him knowing the playbook. You know he knows that. You know he's a great football player. I mean, heck, what'd the guy do? Sit out 1 year at LSU, came back, he's like, yeah, I'm still a dominant player. Like, you can miss time. But it's just the fact that if he does sign this week, if they're not getting all of those reps, sometimes we know that works out. It's not that you're rusty week one or week two, Ben. It's the ability to be injured. And when I talk about, oh, he's going to blow his knee up because he didn't play, those soft tissue injuries tend to creep up because you didn't, like, as we say, build up those calluses throughout that month and a half of training camp and the OTAs in the offseason. You might be running as many routes as you want, but it's not the same thing as those contesting catches that you're getting in practice and the constant pressure that you have in the one-on-one drills and the seven on sevens. So that's what I worry about most. I'm not worried about Jamar Chase. I'm just worried about how ready he is to play football right out of the gate. Now, it's good that they play the New England Patriots so you can ease him back into it, but this shouldn't take that long. And also, another point, again, 32 NFL owners. The one owner that doesn't have at least $1 billion net worth, which is still a crazy amount of money, Mike Brown, if you want to make money, sell the franchise. Put $3 or $4 billion in your pocket and go away and let a conglomerate come in that goes, hey, we'll pay everybody just like any other franchise. Why not do that?
Nine and a half point spread in favor of the Bengals, the largest of week one. We'll talk Thursday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The opening night of the 2024 NFL season is now just over 48 hours away. A Thursday night inside Arrowhead Stadium at the home of the two-time reigning Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. KC opens up the year in what was their second-to-last game of a season ago, a victory in Baltimore against the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. It's an AFC title rematch to start 2024, where the Chiefs were a 4.5-point dog in the Charm City. They will start this year at home as a 3-point favorite. 46.5 is that total. DRS, what is your early thought in terms of the numbers for Thursday night?
I think they're perfect. I think they make a lot of sense, particularly from a side perspective. It just sounds right here at that -3 for Kansas City. I do think Kansas City overall is the better football team because they have Patrick Mahomes. But I'm also interested to see, because you knew me last year. Like, I was a Ravens guy all the way through. I thought far and away maybe a little bit different. But I thought they were, for the majority of the season, the best team overall. And then on Christmas, absolutely hammered the 49ers and just sent me into overdrive. Like, that was the team I bet before the preseason started last year to be my Super Bowl contender. And then right up through the end, the NFL playoffs, I'm like, this is perfect. You don't have to go to Arrowhead. You're in your home building here. You're a better team than the Chiefs here. Just play the same way you played the entirety of the regular season, and you're going to find yourself in a Super Bowl. And they did some of the most inexplicable things I can't even explain to this day by completely changing the MO of their football team just in order to get beat by Kansas City. So I say to myself, Ben, entering into this ball game, did we learn anything from the Ravens backers? Did we say to ourselves, Lamar Jackson is electric. Let him operate out of the pocket, but he doesn't have to drop back 40 times in this game. We just signed Derrick Henry, one of the ultimate smash running backs in the NFL. Let's use him a lot in this game. Yeah. Let's control the line of scrimmage, which I do think they can do, and let's not get pass happy. Because the one thing we do know, Steve Spagnuolo is a wonderful defensive coordinator. On a week-to-week basis, maybe none better in the NFL at devising schemes up, because it's not as if they gave him the best overall talent in the NFL on a year-to-year basis. We understand that offense costs a lot of money, and the defense has to sometimes say, okay, we got one great defensive lineman, a couple athletic linebackers, and some corners that can play, and we'll see if we can make that happen. If you see any sort of game plan like the Chiefs had been last year in the AFC Championship game, they're going to get beat in this one. I do think this game has the tendency, and it's crazy to sound with these two offenses, to stay under the total, because I just think it's not keeping the football away from Kansas City. It's just having a balanced attack, which is what's going to work for the Ravens here opening night. Having said that, I still do think the Chiefs will win this game, and also, as I said, a slight lean to the under at the 46.5, but an awesome matchup right out of the gate. Yeah. I just hope if the Ravens want to be competitive in this game, which I think they will be, it's going to be Lamar Jackson running for upwards of 65 to 70 yards himself, and the same thing with Derrick Henry. Just don't get pass happy, and you can win this game if you're Baltimore.
It is something they failed to do in that AFC Championship game, expose Kansas City on the ground. Mm. The Chiefs last year, of course, were not the prolific offense that we had come to expect in the first 5 years of Patrick Mahomes' tenure as the starter in KC. They were defense-led, but the one weakness for the Chiefs defensively, giving up more than 113 yards per game in the regular season, bottom half of rushing defensive units in the National Football League. For whatever reason, Todd Monken took his NFL MVP and took him out of his game, that being Lamar Jackson. Donnie, of course, we have the two reigning NFL MVPs who have each won the award twice in their career. Mahomes in 2022 for the second time, Jackson last year for his second time in 2023, facing off on Thursday night. Just from the spread perspective, the Chiefs under Patrick Mahomes, who has been the starter since 2018. That's 6 seasons now. Of course, they have made the AFC Championship game all 6 years. They have played in the Super Bowl in that span 4 different times. They have won 3 or 5 different times. They have won 3 of those 5. All of that we know at this point. But, Donnie, they've only been an underdog 16 times since 2018 with Mahomes, 4 of them happening last year, including the AFC Championship game in which the Chiefs won outright. So being a home favorite is what KC is used to. John Harbaugh starts year number 17 at the helm for Baltimore. The Ravens since 08, the second best cover team as a dog. It's the Baltimore Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the only two teams that have covered in more than 60% of their games as an underdog since 08. And again, here are the props for Thursday night early. Mm-hmm. Put a pin in them now. We'll refresh throughout the week. And Donnie, if you're optimistic about KC this year, you look at the offensive numbers and expect them to improve.
I do. And also, Brown is not going to play in this football game. When he gets back, that adds even another dimension where they got some speed that can get downfield, which is something they lacked outside of losing Tyreek Hill. But if I'm being honest, Lamar Jackson, 46.5 rushing yards on the FanDuel Sportsbook, he's going to get that.
Very good look, DRS. College football thoughts next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL week number one on the horizon. College football week number one after a five-day consecutive glorious stretch of college football each and every day has come to a close. A new AP poll out at noon Eastern time on this Tuesday. That will be very intriguing to see. Florida State, I would expect, not in the top 25 any longer. DRS, we talked about the marquee matchups in our opening hour recaps and reaction from week number one. Some of the other notable scores from Saturday. Ohio State, a little slow to start against Akron, but they still win big, 52-6. Defense looks really good once again. A very intriguing score in Eugene inside Autzen Stadium. Oregon's Big Ten debut as a Big Ten program, I should say, against Idaho. The Ducks were nearly a 50-point home favorite. The Vandals, a strong FCS team, give Oregon all they can handle. It was a 3-point game early in the fourth quarter, but Oregon does survive, winning by 10, 24-14. Did that catch your attention on Saturday?
It did, because sometimes the numbers don't add up. Like, it was a 10-point win. Oregon, 31 first downs. Idaho, 10. Total yards, 217 for Idaho, 487 for Oregon. You say, oh, they probably turned it over 10 times. No, they even won the turnover battle, Oregon, 2-1 at that point. So that was an eye-opening number, because then you would point right away. Hold on. Like, if Gabriel goes 41 of 49 for 380, you figure that was one of those games where they're topping 60-plus points in it. That's why you're looking at these numbers. Now, maybe they didn't run the ball at all. They had a running back with 95 yards on 15 carries. Just an oddity overall as a game. I don't know what to make of it, but the statistics don't match up to that final score at all.
Yeah, they don't at all, because Dylan Gabriel threw for nearly 400 yards, as Donnie mentioned there. You look at some of the box score numbers, and it was hard to figure out why the Ducks were even in a competitive football game. They had multiple turnover on downs to end possessions. Their second offensive possession of the game, they drive down the field. They missed a field goal. A couple of opportunities where Oregon did not take advantage, and Idaho kept it competitive. Shout out to the Vandals. Outside of number two, Ohio State, and number three, Oregon, we had some dominant performances out of Texas against FBS foe Colorado State, who won five games a season ago. And many thought, including myself, that the offense would be there for the Rams. Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, and Torrey Horton, they got planked by the Longhorns. Alabama. Oh, boy. They rolled over Western Kentucky, a team under Tyson Helton that has won at least eight games in all four full years under Helton for the Hilltoppers. They got shut out even with TJ Finley as their quarterback, a guy that started his career or at least played at a stop at Auburn, had played Alabama twice, did nothing offensively against the Tide on Saturday in the first game of the Kalen DeBoer era. Following Nick Saban, the Crimson Tide looked darn good, 63-0. And Jackson Dart, the quarterback for Ole Miss, yes, against FCS foe in Furman, had 445 total yards in the opening half against the Paladins in Oxford on Saturday night. Ole Miss rolled 76-0.
Yeah, they had a lot of scrimmages here, week number one, which I'm sure some teams like Florida State and LSU would have loved to have some of those scrimmage games at that point. But the one game that was interesting to me was Texas 52-0 over Colorado State. We heard a lot in the offseason about a couple players buying in at Colorado State, giving up hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not maybe $1 million to leave school. And they got absolutely hammered. But Quinn Ewers, 20-27. Arch Manning, 5-6, throws his touchdown pass here to start that season. And also on deck, as we're going to talk about, and quite frankly, rightfully so, Texas and Michigan lining up here during this week. So a lot of good stuff overall, a lot of anticipated scoring outcomes, and a lot of high scoring outcomes here that we're going over right now.
It is a big noon kickoff in the big house on Saturday, a top 10 tilt between Michigan and Texas. Line opened at 3.5 in favor of the Longhorns. It is now above a touchdown in favor of UT. Texas, a 7.5-point road favorite in Ann Arbor against the reigning national title winners in Michigan. 44.5 is that total. The maize and blue, a little bit leaky on Saturday night at home against a good Fresno State team, though, out of the Mountain West. 30-10 the final. The offense, really, for the Wolverines was the issue. Davis Warren came out of nowhere during fall camp to earn the starting job. And what a story it is for the former walk-on at Michigan, was diagnosed with leukemia in high school back in 2019, battled, beat the disease, even played in a high school football game just 7 months later, gets to Michigan, earns a scholarship under Jim Harbaugh, named the starter on Saturday night in Ann Arbor. He wasn't terrible. The offense just didn't really do all that much. Keep an eye on the running back room. Kalel Mullins might be the best back, even in favor of Donovan Edwards, and I would not be surprised to see the athlete at the quarterback spot, Alex Orji, potentially get the starting nod for week number two against Texas.
Yeah, interesting. But you see that final score, 30-10. Like, okay, they won easily by three touchdowns, and they were favored by around that margin, so you can see it. But this game was a 6-point game in the fourth quarter. Yeah. You get that Saltway 86-yard interception return, which really made the score look much, much better. But this is a sign of the times here for Michigan. Michigan looks like they're back to that old Big Ten style football that opened up just a little bit under Harbaugh in the past couple years. But you're not going to see Michigan with too many 45-14 victories. It looks like every one of these games by Michigan might even be played into the 20s here, and that's going to be fun to watch when they go up against Texas. Can you use that? We'll slow this game down, maybe not turn the football over and try to keep it close and win it in the fourth quarter if that works. Feels like it might be a referendum game on the national champions in week number two for them, which is crazy.
In DRS, there is a thought, of course, Michigan entered this year with a win total of only 8.5. The over had the juice. So much turnover, not only roster-wise, but in the coaching staff, and maybe most notably Connor Stallions, no longer there on Saturday night for the Maize and Blue. They were a 20.5-point favorite, and because of the pick six from maybe the best cornerback in college football, Will Johnson, they nearly covered the number. A total that was in the low 50s did stay under for the Maize and Blue against the Bulldogs. But again, it's a correlated thought, I would say, right? You look at the underdog covering a relatively large spread for a top 10 tilt and the total staying under 44.5. The number on Saturday in Ann Arbor. If Michigan can keep it low scoring, probably their best shot of winning outright or covering that spread. Another Big Ten team making a statement on Saturday. Eighth-ranked Penn State in a rivalry matchup against West Virginia. A West Virginia team that had a lot of optimism entering this year after 9 wins a season ago in Morgantown. The Nittany Lions going to Morgantown after a lengthy weather delay that happened around the halftime break for more than 2 hours. Penn State comes out and does not miss a beat. And again, I believe in the Penn State Nittany Lions making the college football playoff this year. Part of it, just the schedule. Secondly, the offense being so much better. And we saw that. Drew Aller looking really good through the air. Harrison Wallace III, really good as a downfield receiving threat for Penn State. And the ground game was great, and the defense does not miss a beat. Now under Tom Allen's tutelage as the new defensive coordinator, and Andy Kotelnicki, the new OC in State College, getting creative and looking good for Penn State on Saturday.
Penn State is such a wild place. The reason I say this is, like, they're the only team that will win every single game they're supposed to win and lose every single game they're not supposed to win. It's kind of crazy how it works out, because you want this year to be different, but that's what we anticipated. You're more talented than West Virginia, pounded them 34-12. But we know with Penn State, they're going to win a lot of football games. They're just not going to win any big football games. And I think the same thing's going to be true this year, Ben. I don't care. The players change. As long as that coach is there, that's the MO. Absolutely destroy teams you're supposed to win, but never step up to the plate when you're ready to go.
The Nittany Lions did cover as a 7.5-point road favorite, still a total of 49 and a hook staying under. They held West Virginia to less than 100 rushing yards for the Big 12's best rushing offense a season ago. And I don't know about the big games, because they don't have Michigan on the docket, nor Oregon either in the Big 10. The path is favorable to make it a very happy valley this year. We'll look at the title and Heisman odds next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
only 1 week, for some two games, but only 1 week through in this 2024 college football season. How have the odds moved in the chase for a national championship and those Heisman Trophy odds in some spots? Pretty considerably. Georgia rolls over Clemson as anticipated, and their price to win a national title shortens by 10 cents. Plus 280 becomes plus 270. The Bulldogs, the favorite. Ohio State at plus 450. Texas and Oregon now tied for the third best number as the Ducks move back ever so slightly. Alabama up from a 14-1 number to 11-1. But Donnie, the story really in two spots in my estimation. The Miami Hurricanes, 40-1 entering week one in the swamp, nearly slashed that in half, 22-1 now with that ninth best price. And again, when you look at these odds overall, LSU moves back after the loss, tied for the 10th best number alongside Michigan, who also moves back at 35-1. But eight of the 10 best prices to win the title this year still hailing from either the Big Ten or the SEC.
Yeah, and we're going to get some jockeying for position, but also understanding that once you have some of these big battles, like you see, you know, Michigan at 35-1 going to take on Texas at 7-1, the winner of that game is going to increase, the loser is going to fall back, but it's not all over yet because technically you still get to have that guaranteed one loss and still trying to make your way into that 12-team college football playoff. So I do think it's interesting there. But we are going to have those movers and shakers. Like, I guess you could say we expect, at least I did, right? I expected Georgia to handle Clemson easily. So I don't get any takeaway from that game going, wow, that, you know what, really opened my eyes here. George, looks like they're going to be a good ball club. We knew they would be that. But bringing back into Miami, I think of that top, like Penn State, Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Alabama, Oregon, Texas, Ohio State, and Georgia ahead of them. Like, Miami was really that eye-opener saying, like, oh, wow, maybe we should be buying into a little bit of, but the one thing we don't know is this wasn't a Florida team, number five in the country in the swamp, that Miami went in there and whipped them. Now, granted, The toughest schedule we might see in the history of college football just might be the Gators this year. And, oh, yeah, they might win five games or less. You don't want to take anything away from Miami. But as I just told you, weeks one to week two, things so many change over. Now, Miami's going to play Florida A&M this weekend and should roll them easily. But it's kind of interesting as the fandom I am having here with Miami and watching with my eyes, I really liked what I see because we know as well as anything, if you have a quarterback that can make plays with his feet and looks cool and calm under pressure in heightened environments, you got yourself something. So that was a big win for Miami, but we're still trying to gauge it on how high they jumped at the FanDuel Sportsbook as opposed to what maybe they really should have jumped. Because I don't think anybody watched that game like, you know what, I like Miami's win, but I don't think they have what it takes to get in the college football playoff. Like, no, it looks like they probably made the college football playoff just on that Florida win from a team with Florida that's 4.5 as a team total on the season here. So I want to take a step back, but I did like what I saw out of Florida, but they certainly deserve to be the highest movers, Ben, of the week.
And it's not just the Canes moving up based on their result. It's everything that is happening around them in their own conference. Florida State, the preseason favorite, now 0-2 to start this year, but also 0-2 against ACC competition. The Noles now 42-1 to win the conference. They still have an opportunity to do so. They can't lose again and have to play Miami in terms of getting into that ACC title game, we would assume, with two conference losses. But there is a very, very small margin of error for Florida State. The Canes, Donnie, now the favorites to win the ACC at plus 170. Clemson's loss against Georgia was not a conference loss, but there was a couple of other things that happened week one. Western Carolina testing NC State. The Wolfpack have a game this weekend in Charlotte, a top 25 tilt against Tennessee. The Vols also tied with LSU in Michigan at 35-1 to win a national championship. Virginia Tech got beaten outright on the road in Nashville by Vanderbilt as a 13.5 point favorite. They were expected to be a dark horse contender in the ACC. The conference does not look good except for Miami at this moment, and that is always painting the path. If Miami wins the ACC, more than likely it is the automatic berth into the college football playoff as one of the five highest ranked conference champs around the country. And it's going to then be, more than likely, an opening round bye where Miami has positioned themselves to win a national championship. So there's Miami's team perspective. There's also the individual. After 385 yards and three touchdown tosses in his Miami debut, Cam Ward is now a co-favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. Dylan Gabriel's number's not bad. The result, not good for Oregon. Plus 850 for Gabriel. Jackson Dart put on a performance. We've got three co-favorites now atop the board, DRS, following only one full weekend of action, all at a plus 850 number.
It's great, and I love to see it here because you can take a look at some of these guys and make arguments for and against all the way through. But the one thing, Ben, we always have to remind ourselves of, you're not betting this as opposed to saying who's going to win the national championship, because we're not even watching the college football playoff before voting there for the Heisman Trophy. That's already settled and done. Correct. Before we get to that point in the season. So when you look at Miami's schedule, if it's a little bit leaky where it's like, hey, you know what? They don't play that great of football teams and maybe have a massive downgrade on Clemson and Florida State. If Cam Ward looks great all the way through, who cares if he flames out in round number one in the college football playoff? That's already a done deal, and the Heisman Trophy has been voted on. So I agree with this. We are going to see teams, and again, individual performances, and also the extra bump spend. How many times in the past you look at a Heisman Trophy winner? Like, last year was sort of an anomaly to me, but it's usually the best player on the best teams, and if their team gets knocked off, Ben, what happens? You take a drop down in the standings. But let's just say Oregon takes a loss to Ohio State, or, you know, Ole Miss gets beat by, I don't know, Alabama on their schedule. They're still going to be in it in the college football playoff, and you're still going to get those Heisman moments in meaningful football games, as opposed to, oh, that would have been nice. They had two losses. He should have stepped up and played a little bit better early in the season when it might not be his fault. Maybe the defense was the issue in them not winning that football game. This is going to be an awesome watch for the Heisman, something we haven't seen. Yeah. Why? Because more meaningful football games are going to be played later in the season to keep these guys involved in that Heisman race.
Very well said. The national conversation, not only program, but individual led deeper into November. Carson Beck at a 9-1 number, second best price entering the year. Still at 278 and two TDs against Clemson. Jalen Milroe threw the ball 9 times, had more than 200 yards and multiple touchdown tosses. Also ran for more than 70 on the ground against WKU and two scores. Nico Iamaleava, a good start as Tennessee starter in a big matchup this weekend against NC State. Miller Moss moves up to a 22-1 number. We'll talk some baseball. The MLB playoff race next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The playoff picture in baseball. After the long holiday weekend throughout Labor Day, the summer unofficially comes to a close. A focus on football in the fall and, of course, postseason baseball in MLB as well. We are in the final month of this regular season. October is on the horizon. Most teams around MLB, when you look at the overall amount of games played, were well less than 25 or 30 at this moment. The Dodgers, for instance, have the best record in MLB. They've played 138 games, an 83-55 record. The Phillies, more than 80 wins, as is the case for the Brew Crew as well. About 25 games left in this MLB regular season. So let's start with the NL playoff picture. The Dodgers have the best record in baseball and in the league. The Phillies and the Brewers all have substantial leads in their division. The Phils up by 7 games over the Braves. The Brew Crew back to a double-digit lead in the National League Central, 10 games in front of the Cubs. And the Dodgers were great in August, 19-8, and take the weekend in Arizona over the Diamondbacks. So L.A. now looking to win the National League West for the 11th time in the last 12 years, 5 games in front of San Diego, 6 ahead of Arizona.
Yeah, 3 days before the All-Star break, too. We have to remember the Philadelphia Phillies, they were 6 games clear, not in their division, 6 games clear of the Dodgers with the number one overall seed expected to be in the National League. Now you take a look there at how well, as you're saying, the Dodgers have played over the past month and month and a half. Now have a game lead or 2 games lead here over the Philadelphia Phillies. But the question marks also were coming up on the Phillies. Ah, that little malaise here. They had a monster series against the Atlanta Braves. That 4-game set where they took 3 of those 4 games, which included a couple comeback victories. That sort of put it out of reach. Now, never say never, because the Phillies, I believe it was maybe I want to say 2007, where they came back all the way with the Mets, like, you know, seven games with 17 to play, something crazy like that, which we've seen happen in baseball history. But a seven-game lead for the Phillies in the month right now of September, they're probably not going to get caught at this point. That's how big that series was overall to pick up two games over the Braves. So the Braves now, singular focus here, Ben, going to be on just making that wild card, and they are getting nipped and bit on the heels by the New York Mets now, only a half game back in that wild card race, which is going to be so much fun to watch down the stretch. Diamondbacks struggling a little bit. San Diego Padres maybe cooling off just a tad. Those two teams, I do believe, will be in the playoffs. But the Braves and the Mets now, neck and neck all the way through. The good part about it is, if you're the Mets, you're going to play a lot of games against the Phillies, a lot of games against the Braves here. No fault of your own if you miss out on the playoffs. But that looks like a fun, competitive matchup throughout the final 3 weeks or so of the season.
And DRS, when you look at the National League East, the odds are off the FanDuel Sportsbook. The NL Central, the odds are off the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Dodgers, a minus 6,000 favorite to win the National League West. There is also a competitive race, I guess you could say, between the Phils and the Brewers in terms of who is going to earn that second bye into the postseason. Yeah. But the Phils do maintain a half game lead over the Brew Crew at this moment. But the most competitive race in the National League, as Donnie mentioned, only a half game for Atlanta in front of the New York Mets. The divisional mates down the stretch battling for that third and final NL wildcard spot. To the odds we go. The Mets price to make the postseason, plus 158. The Braves not on there, not because they're so strongly in front. The odds have been taken off. But I think FanDuel has to kind of reassess where Atlanta is, a team that entered the season with the second best price to win a World Series.
Yeah, and also, here's what you have to keep in mind, too. We're already in playoff mode for those two organizations. Love what the Mets have done. Looks like they were dead and buried. Now they're back with a legitimate chance to make it in to that wild card round in the playoffs. But the thing I really like about the Atlanta Braves, which, again, they have a half-game lead, which isn't much, but that starting pitching lineup now. Chris Sale has been great. Ronaldo Lopez back off of the IL looking decent once again. And Spencer Schwellenbach looks like he can be that third hammer down the stretch. He was great against the Philadelphia Phillies. That bullpen just gave way. So if I'm looking at those three pitchers healthy in the month of September, then I got to give the nod to the Atlanta Braves at this point, because pitching wins, particularly when you're in playoff mode, and both of those teams are not knocking the Mets. As I said, like what they've done, surprised me even in this spot here. And even with all those injuries to the Braves, that 1-2-3 punch is really formidable from a Braves starting pitching perspective here.
The Mets 17-13 in the month of August. They ended out August and now continuing into September on a five-game win streak. Quickly here, let's look at the American League. The most competitive race is the Yankees and the Orioles for the top spot in the AL East. The Red Sox trail by 4.5 games for a wild card spot, despite the Royals being on a six-game skid. Donnie, if you had to bet it right now, Yankees at minus 140, half-game lead over the O's in the American League East, who wins the divisional title?
I would say the Yanks, but boy, oh boy, I'm waiting. That Garrett Cole missing out maybe on 3 or 4 starts if he's injured. That could be the key.
It very well could. Hour 3 on the horizon up next.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.